Yeah. Let's do this. One more time, shall we? Episode 20 of The Center Ring, your favorite esports podcast, coming to you live, pre-recorded, from the undisclosed location.
Oh, man.
The time is 9 o'clock p.m. The date, the 17th of the second month of the 2016 year.
That sounds weird.
I'll be one of your hosts for this evening. My name is Tim. The other voice you just heard, he is Brandon. Brandon, how are you doing today?
Man, I'm exhausted. I mean, you know. Yeah, this whole moving thing is for the birds.
Well, let's get into it. So we're a little behind schedule for this week. Mama P Shroom, she's in town. So I was spending time with my mom.
I've bought a house and moved and have, I mean, you came over and helped paint and
you're
done,
one step closer to being an actual adult.
Yeah.
Only took 27 years, but you're there.
That's all right.
So yeah, you own your own property. Sooner or later, we'll probably be doing the show from there.
Yeah, you got to get all that soundproofing nonsense.
It's a mess. It's a mess. I'm about to move. It's going to be awful for sure. There will be no hiding that. But alas, we are here. We are here to do the show, episode 20 of TCR. You can always follow along with us on Twitter to let us know how the show is, or even if you're wondering why we were late on this week's. I didn't tweet it out, but typically I would. So you can always follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. I'm at Pirate Mushroom. He is at Brand Any New. You can always find all of that information on our website, tcr.gg, plus all of our YouTube and everything there. I think I covered everything.
Yeah, it's all there.
But
that's the hub you need. Just go to the website.
That's it. Just go to the website, tcr.gg. Check everything out there. All of the player interviews or whatever you want to call them, they're there on the YouTube. But past all that, we're done with that. That's in the past. We're looking on to the future of episode 20. As you said right before, we are 1/5 of the way to 100. It seems so far. So far away. But we have a good show for you nonetheless. Probably our best one ever, if I have to admit so myself. We will always end the show with the micro, your favorite segment of stories that maybe just don't warrant the full-on discussion just yet. Not saying they're not important. We just don't have a whole lot to say on them, or, you know, it is what it is. It's maybe just a headline that we wanted to bring up. I want to talk a little bit about Mortal Kombat X that actually made its way onto television sets around the nation yesterday. So that was the first time that we saw Mortal Kombat or anything like that on TV or on CW, for example. So I want to talk about it into that little mini hour-long documentary, if that's what you want to call it. But we have been away, it seems like weeks, but it's really only been like maybe a week and a day. And so much has happened in Counter-Strike that we have to discuss it. So much has happened in CSGO. We've had a qualifier for Katowice. The Pro League had started weeks 1 and 2. We're in the middle of week 2 right now. Matches are going on right now as we speak. And I want to get a little bit into that. So the Pro League started for ESL, kind of the one league that I think everyone honors as being the Pro League in between all the tournaments and majors and whatnot. You have two divisions, obviously. You have the European division, you have the North American division, which is kind of a ragtag group of even South American teams, but we'll save that for another day.
That means they're official NA, though.
It means they are NA for the sake of the argument, NA versus EU.
Yeah.
But as far as those Brazilian teams, such as Luminosity and now Tempo Storm, formerly Gaming Academy, they're trying to put their bid in to make their own division of South American CSGO.
There's like two teams.
It's going to be a close division every year. So that's going to be
well
tight,
played.
Tight competition.
Well played.
Over there in the South American division. Maybe just, what's the opposite of a hemisphere? A hemisphere is up and down. What's the, if we were to split the globe vertically?
It's You're really going to make us look stupid on today's episode.
Split the globe vertically, and that's how we should do it. And then that way it's not NA versus EU. Either way, though, what do you want to talk about first? Do you want to talk about EU standings, or do we want to talk about NA standings?
Well, I've really only kind of paid attention to the NA standings at this point, so let's do that first, and then we'll let you kind of jump into the EU after.
Okay, well, then you start with the NA. What stands out so far?
Optic Gaming being 4-0. We all know that they've that's X-Conquest, and X-Conquest had troubles at the end of the previous year going into this year. They won that spot on the TBS show, but then after that kind of crumbled in the last two tournaments. They're currently tied. They've got the tiebreaker against Luminosity. They both are 4-0, but Optic, it has a 33-round differential.
So where do we stand, though, on this? And this is going down to any sports where it's strength of schedule, because arguably they've had one of the easiest ones. This week they played Splice, and then last week they played Team AGG. So they haven't really played any of what would be considered a top-tier NA team.
That's true.
So, enjoy your time on top while you can?
That'll sort out the further down the...
The season's still young.
The season, but, I mean, if you look at the teams, and especially now with all the changes to, like, Cloud9 and Team Liquid, you look at the teams and you don't really see a squad... This hurts my feelings to say that you don't really see a squad that can, like, outperform Luminosity right now.
No,
they're all too new.
I agree. If you're looking at all of NA's teams there, I agree with you that Luminosity is probably the strongest one out of the North American division. Like you said, though, mainly because they are new.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not saying that they will always be the best out of, you know, teams like Team Liquid and Cloud9, who have the backing of, you know, an organization that. They're kind of known for being successful in other games. So I still have faith in those organizations. Even CLG kind of shows glimmer of hopes that they one day will be. They're always right there on the cusp of wanting to take control of being a top NA team. And then they always fall just a little bit short, I feel like CLG does. But yes, I think right now, this early on in the season, this early on in the year, we have a lot of changing going on with other North American teams that definitely is not helping anybody's chances.
CLG is actually another huge, huge surprise to me, being 0-2, and not just 0-2, but in the second game that they played against Cloud9, they ended up losing 16-5 on Overpass. And I know CLG recently picked up a Fugly, but I feel like even though that change has also coincided with Team Liquid getting Simple, I feel like that isn't quite as big of a change as somebody like a Russian coming over to play for an NA team and learning English customs and the English language and learning to play with, you know, NA players. I can't really pinpoint why CLG is struggling as much as they are at this point. I feel like they should be doing better than 0-2.
Well, and I think they're even worse than 0-2, right? Aren't they? Let me go to the week two. Hold on. Yes, they are playing Renegades, and they actually, Renegades ended up taking the first map. I don't know how they're doing on the second map, because we don't have that up while doing the show, because we're professionals without distractions. But yeah, so at least they're 0-3 now. So they are struggling, and Renegades is kind of a wishy-washy team to begin with. I don't look at Renegades on the schedule and think of a threat.
Right.
I think that they are heavily, heavily favored, being an Australian team and being a very big crowd favorite because people like them. But I think that kind of skews there.
Renegades dumpstered CLG 16-5 and 16-6. CLG is now 0-4.
So they ended up taking both maps against
CLG by a huge margin.
So then I would go with your argument of I would be a little bit concerned for CLG that you set up a dumpster fire against Renegades, who,
yeah,
again, to me, it no one that I would look on the schedule and think, oh, maybe we need to really watch out for these guys taking the top. Other than that, though, it's like you said, it's almost with NA, though, I feel it's a little too early to tell. Enemy, to me, Enemy GG, the Kryptonite to Cloud9, I feel, they, I think, are my surprise pick for the season, because they do perform very, I feel, they perform well under pressure against the top tier teams. I feel like they are a team that's not necessarily afraid to play those bigger organizations. Now, that is a team, though, that is also going to be changing here soon.
I don't know when the actual change is going to take place. I can tell you that it's been confirmed that Kusta from Enemy will now be joining Team Liquid in place of Adrin, which everybody knows about all of the...
That's once his Adrin, contract is up.
Yep, Adrin drama stuff going on. So that team will also be changing here very shortly. And maybe Kusta can spur Liquid to fix this awful record they've currently got.
And this is after like a week or two from us talking with coach of Team Liquid, GB James, about roster moves and how I feel like everyone kind of expressed how it just seems like there is a never-ending cycle of roster movements in CSGO, especially in the North American scene of CSGO. And it's not like that was literally a week ago where we were like, let's pump the brakes on roster moves and let's see how it goes. And we didn't last 2 weeks into the season before.
But I do feel like after talking to James about it, and especially like they understand the importance of the IGL, that this was a tough decision that Liquid had to, that what Liquid made. And to be completely fair, Adrin does have those games that you kind of wonder what happened.
And I agree. I agree that I would love to see, get maybe inside information on what changed between a week where we assumed everything was okay with Adren and we were going to work with Simple. My opinion, I think there's a lot of behind the scenes bullshit that goes on in esports in general. Teams are only five men, six maybe if you have subs and a coach. I think tensions grow in that, and if you don't like someone, you're spending a lot of time with someone you might not like, or easily it's easy to go on social media and go on Reddit and you see all these people blaming Adren for not getting like some clutch kill or having a poor performance. And I feel like it would be easy to get into that same motion of like, you know what, you guys are, it is Adren,
right?
It's not a team issue. It's not, we need to help Adren. It's Adren needs to get off the team. And I don't know who would be, you know, talking smack behind scenes, but I think there's a lot of behind the scenes things that go on every team where maybe three guys are ganging up on one guy, or all four are kind of like, you know what, this guy bottom fragged two tournaments in a row, he needs to go.
Which I believe it. And
this is my opinion on that, is every team has to have a bottom fragger. Sometimes it's the same guy twice, three times in a row. Doesn't mean he's a bad player or he doesn't support the team.
I completely agree, and that's why I've never liked the whole idea of a gaming house. And these tournament schedules are already so intense, and they're already playing so much Counter-Strike together, and it's a competitive environment where it's easy to get ticked off at you know, teammates that you feel like didn't do what they were supposed to do.
Especially in something where, and I'm just going to say everything here to kind of, I mean, put yourself in their shoes, where even playing, like, even if as a listener, you play CSGO or play Counter-Strike, when you're dead, you're watching the other person's point of view from your team. How many times have you said, like, hey, did you not see that guy sitting behind that box? Or you just saw him there shoot, or, you know, go,
right,
don't go long A, go catwalk. And then you go catwalk and you get wasted and it's like, I should have gone long A.
And that's why I think that whole idea behind gaming houses and things I don't like, because I feel like they already spend so much time together. You need a break from your teammates. Like, you've got to have your own space and your own deal. And
I agree. If teammates want to, you know, you have those roommates and stuff, but you don't ever hear of any other professional sport that's like, hey, why don't we get the entire team and move them in together? Doesn't that sound like a great idea? Like, what happened to just like team retreats?
I feel right, like need 2 weeks, like a
building
the
boot, exercises.
The boot camp thing is fine in my opinion. It's like a week before a tournament, they go and they play a lot of Counter Strike together. They, you know, get used to being around each other again. After that, go in your own ways. Just make sure you're there for practice. I mean,
I think you need to have team building exercises to where you learned. You have to, in such a small group environment as esports is, where teams are 4 or 5 guys. I feel like you all need to work on being friends first and then learn how to critique them as a teammate. Because if you're not friends and then you're critiquing them as a teammate, I feel like that could become very dark very quick, in the sense of, F him, he's the problem, get him out of here. And then you get another guy who's completely fresh to the team, to where you're going to hit that restart button and completely learn new strats and where he fits with everything?
I mean, as far as Liquid's concerned, now's a good time to do it, considering they're still trying to figure out what to do with Simple joining the team.
True.
But if yeah, they're going back to square one as far as relearning everything
together. And maybe that's going to be easier with two guys trying to learn, because now they can kind of, the clay is a little bit more loose, or however you want to say it. There's more room to work on when you have trying to teach two people than trying to get one who may feel like the outsider,
right?
Wondering how things are going. So we kind of went off on a tangent on roster moves, but I feel like that's
a theme with NA.
Yes,
like that's why NA CS is the way it is.
When there are at least 4 teams in the entire out of the 12 that literally just went through a roster move, you're going to see that issue, and I just think it's more than just performance-based. I think it's behind-the-scene drama that goes on through social media and everything else. I mean, look at, you know, Hiko. You'll see him on stream. And then they'll, you know, pros on streams on Twitter, they'll say one thing and people will make an odd shot video of that and blow it up and make it some bigger thing. But who's not to say that might get into Hiko's head, where people are constantly telling Hiko, hey, man, you're not the problem. This guy's not the problem. It's a Dren. It's Simple. It's whoever. Just get them off the team and get this guy and everything will be fine. Let's forget trying to actually fix what you have. And
I wonder if that's a whole nother discussion, but the underlining issue for why NA feels like they have to win every single practice round.
Because if
they don't win in practice, then they're going to, you know, develop that reputation as underachievers and eventually get kicked from their teams.
Instead of actually practicing,
they're trying to win scrims.
Yeah, everybody's so afraid to bottom frag.
Yeah.
That if you bottom frag 2 rounds in a row or 2 tournaments in a row, then everybody's crosshair is going to be on you. But moving along to EU, to Europe side of things, which can be equally as confusing as NA, really. Of course, winning it, they're 5-1, Fnatic. We actually, as far as undefeated teams go in EU, there is none. Well, I mean, unless you consider NiP and FaZe, but
they've only played 2 matches.
Right, yeah. So we have Fnatic at 5-1, leading the charge with 15 points. Astralis is right below them. I said it before, and I'll say it again. It is Fnatic versus the world. You take EU, take NA aside, make fun of whoever you want. Fnatic is going to dominate everyone.
There was this article about comparing CSGO to the LCS, League of Legends, and talking about how one of the good things about CSGO is that any team can win, whereas in League of Legends, it's always the same teams winning. And I was like, this person must not watch Counter-Strike, because Fnatic is dominant. They're the Patriots of Counter-Strike.
Any team can make it out of group, but once it gets down to playoff times, Fnatic is almost a sure bet that they're going to be in the finals and probably win it. So again, I think Fnatic versus the world. That is my theme for this year. I'm going to try to get people around it. The big surprise, well, we'll start with this. Big surprise, I think Team Dignitas, they're 2-2, but I feel like they're playing really well. I know...
I'm surprised to see G2 below them.
Are you?
I mean, you would think they would at least be able to hang with, like, the old G2.
Well, so NIP is the two losses for Team Dignitas, which that's nothing to be ashamed of there. NIP is a perfectly good team that we have seen. They really haven't lost any steps or anything there. They're kind of being quiet. The whole NIP train and everything like that, I feel, has kind of left the station in the sense of people freaking out over them.
Their roster, since adding Pith, just doesn't have that same kind of oomph that it used to.
Well, it's not the ninjas in pajamas that people grew to love.
Right.
And now it's ninjas in pajamas with Pith. So yeah. I still like them. G2, former Titan. I've told you this before. Titan was not that great. They were good. Don't get me wrong.
I got on the Scream hype train was the problem.
You were.
I got on the Scream headshot hype train.
When we were putting all the shows up on YouTube, I was listening to some past episodes, and you claimed when they picked them up, top four.
Top four at the next major.
Bro, top four major, done. And I'm like, they might not even get top six.
And I think they got top... Did they even make it out of groups?
I don't remember. But they weren't that great to begin with. I don't know. Titan is just so caught up in this hype that they're Titan.
They've got great players on that team.
That doesn't make a great team, though.
That's true. Obviously, it's true.
So, again, it's a young season so far, but I am not holding my breath for G2. I have the same expectations as I did for Titan, which is very low. I think they're going to have a lot of talk around them, but other than that, that's where it's going to sit.
That's all right. Ocelot don't care. He's got that money now.
Yeah. Hey, man. Mission accomplished for him. Mouse Sports, according to the standings, actually have not played. I guess I didn't notice they haven't played yet.
Well, which is awesome because they're still not in last place.
Well, maybe that's where they want to stay then.
Yeah, just don't even play a game.
Just don't play a game and you won't be in last. Below them, you have Flipside. They're 0-2. Whatever. I mean, I don't want to judge a team for being 0-2, especially when your only game was against Astralis. So let's not be too harsh on that, right? And then the big one. The one where I actually received a text message from a friend on during the match asking me what the hell is going on. Virtus Pro is 0-8. 0-8.
Let that sink in for a minute. 0-8.
That is horrendous, dude. And I even said this in previous episodes that I think Virtus Pro was on the wrong track of doing things. I feel like they don't play enough. First off, you don't see them in nearly as many tournaments or matches as you do other teams. I feel like they only do the ESL Pro League and these little small tournaments here and there. I think that hurts them. I think overall they are kind of, I think, more of the more how to say this, adult team, married, have kids.
You're saying they're old?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know their ages off the top of my head, but yeah, they're the older team out there where maybe they have a little bit more distractions going on than being able to play as much. But 0-8, like I get that with other teams, we're like, oh, well, you know, Optic Gaming's 4-0, but let's pump the brakes. If this was an NA team, like if this was Cloud9 or Team Liquid that was 0-8, people would be having a field day with the jokes.
That's true. And my lack of contribution the last couple seconds was I was actually checking the rosters to make sure that they were playing with their actual roster for all eight of those games. And
they were. If this was any other team in NA, people would be making, oh, NA CSGO jokes all day. Oh, that's NA for you.
Is that hashtag 0-8 VP EUCS?
And this will fall on deaf ears because all it's going to come out is, well, of course, you're saying this. You're saying this, Tim. You're North American. Of course you're going to sound salty when it comes to this, but it's not. It has nothing to do with that. I don't view Counter-Strike in NA versus EU glasses like so many do. I view Counter-Strike as a whole, and I feel like Virtus Pro being 0-8 needs to be looked at. I know I was reading forums and everything on Reddit, and everyone's freaking out that, like, oh, maybe, you know, Pasha hasn't been looking that good. Pasha hasn't looked that good in a long time. So let's not all of a sudden act like something's going on. Pasha hasn't been looking that good for a while. Virtus Pro has just been doing better, so I think it covers up the poor play. But Pasha makes boneheaded mistakes more often than not from what I see. It will be very weird, though, to see Virtus Pro not with that group of guys, like with Taz and Pasha and everyone.
Right. So.
But how teams like Virtus Pro can be 0-8 and then, like, no talks whatsoever. Like, whatever.
What's kind of the limit for VP as far as a roster change? So, like, we were just talking about the NA rosters being completely unstable. Do you think, I mean, VP's been with this roster for long enough, you think it's fine to drop their bottom fragger?
Well, no, I think you can make the argument both ways.
Right.
They've been together for so long, let's not freak out at the first sign of really struggling.
Struggle, yeah.
They haven't been as active as other teams. I don't know their practice schedule or anything like that, but they haven't been active in tournaments or live play for a while. So, again, you pump the brakes. See where it goes. It's not good right now. Obviously, you're last place in everything with a minus 40 round differential. Like, you're not even, it's not even like close games.
That's those games where you wonder, like, why are you still playing?
They had the one against Na'Vi where they ended up losing 16-12. They had one against Dignitas 16-14. Other than that, there really hasn't been a whole lot of close games. They lost one to Dignitas on Mirage 16-5. Fnatic 16-9. It's just here, FaZe.
Which is strange because I've always thought of VP as a team that's kind of struggled until they face some of the top competitions and exactly. They could usually play against it.
And that's what I always felt. I even said it on the show a couple episodes ago that VP needs to come back because I feel like they're the only team that can test Fnatic. Because I felt like the same thing. They would kind of be shaky during group play, but then they would find their way into semis or the finals and everything there. Like, they knew how to play the top teams well.
Right.
But that hasn't been the case. They've had a really strong first of the season. They had a strong first 2 weeks as far as scheduling goes. So I'm sure that doesn't help. Maybe when they get into teams like Flipside, you know, Mouse Sports, things like that. Maybe even G2. But then you say that and they Dignitas ended up beating them twice.
So Dignitas is the exact kind of team I would expect to beat VP. Because I'm thinking, like, you think of all the time when they play, when Team Liquid took them to overtime in group stages, and then VP ended up winning, I don't even remember which tournament that was. I want to say it was Cluj.
Sure, I can't fact check you. You can tell me whatever you want.
I have no idea, I don't even remember. Anyway, but yeah, Liquid took them to DreamHack, Stockholm. Liquid took him to overtime. Everybody was like, oh man, Liquid played VP really well, blah, blah, blah. And then Liquid ends up losing out in groups in the next game and VP went on to win it. It was kind of like, that's exactly what I expect from them. This 0-8 is just absurd. Like, that's, yeah, I'm with you. I think the roster needs to be looked at.
It needs to be looked at, not necessarily changed, but definitely looked at in the sense of,
like, they need to identify what's going wrong with Pasha and be like, hey, this is why you keep dying. Yeah, Stop doing that.
Maybe being back into the ESL season, that will help them out getting their you know, minds back in track and everything. But I do think that if this was any other team, people would be hysterical, making fun of them. But because it's VP, we'll give it a pass because it's a VP. Moving on, though, we have, like I said, very, very young season. Complexity and Enemy are playing right now. I don't know the scores to that, but that's pretty low tier NA as far as I'm concerned. Like I said, NA or Enemy, I guess, is interesting in the sense of they seem to play well against top teams. But other than that, that's really it. That's all I have for the ESL Pro League. We want to kind of do it to where every week we kind of recap the standings, recap the games of the week, and kind of see where the chips fall. Did you have anything else left to say?
Concerning ESL Pro League? Yeah, there's too many games.
See, I don't mind the games. I love the games every day. Monday through Thursday, you got EU in the morning. Let's recuperate, hit it at night. I love that there's two games per on different maps. It's great. Tomorrow we have Cloud9 versus Liquid.
I'll be watching that, don't worry.
I'll be all on that. NA's pride and joy. NA, I say that. USA's pride and joy. Because South America is apparently North America. But I want to move on. We had Mortal Kombat X, the Machinima's Chasing the Cup. If you don't know what that is, it's like a mini documentary, I guess. It's an hour long. I don't know what you call an hour long special.
It's a YouTube documentary, basically.
Yeah, it's an hour. It's a special that aired on the CW, which is like an old Warner Brothers channel, which is now called CW.
Which is famous for like superhero shows.
Yeah,
now.
It's like The Flash, The Arrow. They're I would say younger crowd, probably. I mean, I watch some of the shows on there, but then again, I have an esports podcast, so I would not include me in the older crowd. But they decided to air this hour-long special on the ESL Pro League for Mortal Kombat. This was basically a special, an hour-long special on the grand final. Top eight in the world got together to do this. They focused on really four guys. They focused on Perfect Legend, Biohazard, and a little bit of his brother Honeybee, Pig of the Hut, and then obviously most probably famous Mortal Kombat player is Sonic Fox, who sucks the life force out of me. But we have that's kind of where it started, okay? And I want to talk about this for one thing and really a few others, but it was really the first time that we saw esports on TV, I guess, as far as this new era of esports goes. Is that a
like
proper...
The post-CGS era of esports?
Yeah, the ESL era of esports.
Well, I mean, they've had the random Dota tournament on ESPN, but this is the first look into like the culture part of it.
Right, yeah, kind of done as a special. So I'm sitting here watching it, and I'm thinking, damn, these guys are nerds. I don't know if it was them. I blame the production value first off. But as like, it's like, so for instance, like they followed Pig of the Hut around the majority of the show. He definitely liked the camera. I think he milked it for the camera a little bit. But I'm sitting here watching it and like, he'll get up and maybe it has something to do with that. He's like balding and he's like 30 something and he's a dad and he's wearing blue jeans and a button up. But like, he'll get up and try to talk smack and it just looks really awkward. Like, you shouldn't be doing that. It looks really forced and fake. And it probably was forced and fake. But then I think, is that what I look like when I play video games? And then I had like the crazy, like I had the scariest realization of like, holy shit, that's me. Like, I am the fat white guy that talks smack about video games. Like, so I'm watching this extremely uncomfortable the whole time, thinking this is what people who don't get esports think of esports.
Okay, so that's exactly what I was gonna say. This is CGS all over again. So this is the CW, and don't get me wrong, they actually did do some stuff that I was really surprised that they did, and I was happy that they did it. But they played up the gamer stereotype 150% to try and, I don't know, to identify. Or, and I totally believe there's people that act like this, and they may act like that, like, agreed, a lesser version of that, but that, I just don't understand how anybody that's a fan of esports can watch it and be like,
that's hell it, yeah. Yeah. Hell that's, yeah, that's what that's, it's about.
Right, it's like.
It's going to sound like I'm picking on Pig of the Hut, but again, they showed him a lot. Like, he was, like, the voice of the show, almost like a narrator of the game. So they showed him a lot. So he lost. He got kicked out of the tournament. He lost in the loser's bracket. And then, like, so the camera shows him, and he's all a little bit upset and everything. And he walks outside the back door. And, like, everyone's like, oh, pig, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden you see him take his controller and slam it on the ground. And the controller shatters, and everyone runs out there, and the camera, like, zooms in dramatically on the controller, and then everyone's like, oh my god, I can't believe he broke his controller. And it's just like, who does? No one does that.
So this is, like, the difference between, and I brought it up in the pre-show with the two brothers that were in it and their mother asking them to do something. And it's like watching the difference between like a blockbuster movie and an indie movie. Like, you can tell the people in the indie movie aren't that great at acting, and everything just has this like weird twinge of like not being real.
It was very, so this is both of our theories. We've learned that we had the same theory on this, and I can guarantee you this is what happened. So it was like, so Pig lost the match, and he was probably upset, and he was probably blaming the controller, which, okay. And I bet you the producer was like, hey, man, you know what would be really, really great for the show? If we had a shot of you, like, throwing your controller, it would show that you really care. It would show that you really care about the game and you're really passionate about it. And he's probably like, okay, sure.
He's like, so wait, I get like 5 more minutes on camera for this?
Yeah, so it just seemed really milked up. And then, like, people would lose and he would go and talk to him and be like, hey, man, let's talk out, man. You know, you did a really good job. And, you know,
well, and the thing about these documentary things is, like, nobody's ever going to act the same as they normally do when there's a camera around. But when the producers are actively encouraging people to ham it up, like, it's even worse.
Right. And this is, again, I love Mortal Kombat. I play it. I love fighting games. So it's not like I'm bashing the scene or bashing these pros by any means, except for Sonic Fox. But it seemed really hammed up. Go watch it. Google Mortal Kombat X Machinima's Chasing the Cup. You'll go to like CWC.com or something like that.
It's their digital streaming.
Yeah, you can watch it. It's 45 minutes and it seems really cheesed up.
I will tell you the best thing they did for the whole thing was when they showed Mortal Kombat. They did not try to keep it clean like they were showing the fatalities and the blood and guts and all that other stuff. And I was actually really surprised that the CW put that stuff
on. They did tone it down a little bit. There were some fatalities that they cut close.
Right.
Like, they cut short a little bit, but that's probably more so FCC guidelines than anything.
In the first 10 minutes, I saw what was her name? Tanya or whatever, like going through the stomach of another player and like pulling out their intestines or something. I was just surprised they even filmed it at all.
So little observations for me. Honorable mention, Madsen, however you want to say his name. So he loses the match to Pig and he's all upset and he's all flustered and he's behind the scenes in the player room. And this lady, nice lady from ESL, goes up to him and goes, hey, would you like to have an interview? And he goes, what? And she was like, Ken, do you want to do an interview? And he freaks out on her saying, no, I don't want to do an effing interview. You know, why would I want to do an interview? And he like is yelling at this woman. It just seems so forced. It's so like, you wouldn't, like, he's not really like that. And I know, like, they're like, oh, he's just competitive. He's, you know, he's got a lot of heart. No, he's an effing douche if he's really doing that. Like, you're not competitive yelling at some lady asking if you want to do an interview.
Right.
Like, that's not showing heart. That's not being a professional. One thing that I think was a little bit of eye-opening, even for me, is that, you know, it kind of takes you to the players' homes and kind of show you, you know, their scene. Like you said earlier, Biohazard and his brother said, you know, it would mean a lot to them to win because then they could get their own place and not live at home. You had, you know, Sonic Fox wanted to pay for college. You had Pig of the Hut, who is easily the dad of the group. He has a kid. He has another kid on his way. And he was like, it would really help out for that. So I think that's a huge difference from like the fighting scene compared to guys like in CSGO or Dota or League, where you see those type of professionals making a living off of gaming. you can make nice money doing fighting, but I think it's, you see that it's a lot different scene. It's really not the lights and the glamour like it is.
Well, the fighting game, I mean, the championship was only worth 100,000 for first place. Right,
the winner took home 60,000.
Or took home 60. So, I mean, that's a decent year's salary, but there's people placing fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh and eighth taking home that kind of cash in Counter-Strike and Dota and
so,
League.
So, and I liked that they kind of touched on that dramatic effect of it, albeit they used really cheesy music, and it slowly kills me to see them use that type of music in the background. But again, they also wanted to show some emotion, so some fun in it and everything there. So I get it. It's whatever. It's just really, it's 42 minutes. Look it up. It's worth the watch. It's still good. It's just very hammed up, and I feel like you said, they could be like that, but I feel like there was a lot of forced action because it was in front of the camera. Like, you don't stand up and talk as much smack when you're sitting in your own living room by yourself.
I still can't believe he made his wife leave whenever he was playing. That's another reference to Pig in the Hut. Like, his wife was like, guess I'll take the kid and we'll leave the house. Like, what?
I mean,
why?
Just go in the other room, I guess. Right. I mean, he needs his time alone to practice, I guess. Other than that, it's still weird to only see like 50 people in the crowd. Like, that seemed a little uncomfortable for everyone. But
I don't know. Why did they pick Mortal Kombat? Was there a reason? Like, why not one of the bigger fighters? Like,
I don't know.
Or maybe
know.
Mortal Kombat was the only one willing to play ball with CW. Like, yeah, you can show our game.
I honestly, maybe Mortal Kombat paid for it. Maybe it was an advertisement. I have no idea. That's a very good question. It could have been something to do with ESL. And, you know, I know ESPN kind of wrote articles on it and everything. So maybe they were trying to make headway there. I have no idea why they would have picked Mortal Kombat. It could have just been a timing thing. They just had their tournament. So
right,
it could have been a timing thing there. I don't know. But worth it. Looking at the ratings, though, so it was on at 8 p.m. Eastern. So you had the Grammys. I guess I'm looking at the list here. The Grammys, The Bachelor, X-Files, Superstore, whatever that is, and then Mortal Kombat Chasing the Cup.
Wait, for that time slot, it was like fifth?
Yeah, that's what I guess what this list is showing here.
That's not bad.
Right. So it's, and I mean, it's going up against, I mean, the Grammys and X-Files and Bachelor. So it pulled a 0.3 rating and a 1 share, which, if for those who don't know, so a rating, a share is a percent of the number of people watching TV at the time. So they pulled a 1%
of the total number of people watching
total
television.
Total number of people watching TV between the ages of 18 and 49, which is like the top demographic that you want. They pulled a 1%, which is roughly a little over or a little under a million. I'll take it. I mean, you know, I don't
know.
That's
actually really surprising.
I don't know what they expected to pull on CW during the Grammys. I'm sure they probably did that on purpose to kind of have that,
like,
falling back on.
Like, let's fill the time.
Yeah, nothing's going to be there anyways, so just do this. So that's, you know, respectable ratings, respectable share numbers there, I would say, for them. But again, look it up. It's kind of worth the watch. And hopefully it's a trend where CW will kind of do these little documentary things. I just hope they do it a little bit more professional in a way. Like, yeah, ESL, I believe, or was it DreamHack? They did the player profiles for CSGO, and those did not seem cheesy at all.
I didn't want to bring those up because those were so much better than this.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, those seemed really professional, and like, for whatever reason, watching Olaf with his family or whoever with their family didn't seem nearly as cheesy, as hammed up, as it did this with their family.
No,
I don't
I'm
know
with
why.
You.
It has everything to do, I think, with the production value that made it better. And I hope that's the next ones go for more of a HBO sports documentary feel.
Yeah.
That's what they need to opt.
I'm with you.
Go for the HBO feel. Not the
Big Brother reality television feel.
Exactly. And that's what that's exactly what it felt like.
Yeah.
It felt like, let's follow them around the house and get fake reactions all day.
Yeah.
But anyways, enough about that. Let's get on to the micro. I have not a whole lot, really. Honestly, you brought more to the micro than I did, but I'll bring it up. MLG announced their groups for the Columbus qualifier that is coming up February 26th and the 28th. That is a LAN qualifier that is happening in Columbus, Ohio, where the major is happening. You have four groups, four teams apiece. I don't know if you want to go through each group, but I mean, Group A, you have G2, Flipside, Enemy, and Tempo. In that one, I think it's pretty obvious. G2 and Tempo are probably the favorites. I think Enemy can surprise people, but Tempo Storm being the team that just dominated the Katowice qualifiers, I think is on everybody's radars all of a sudden as being a favorite. That's the second Brazilian team that just...
X Games Academy.
Yeah, that just embarrassed every American team out there. So I think they're on everyone's radar. Group B, I should mention that all these groups are randomly generated. Group B, you have Hellraisers, Team YP, Liquid, and Mouse Sports. I think Liquid and Mouse Sports you're looking at there. Group C, you have CLG, Vexed Gaming, The Mongols, and SK Gaming. That's probably the least interesting group to me. I mean, no real big teams there. I'm more interested to watch the Mongols. They qualified from the Asian qualifiers where they took out Renegade.
Renegades.
So I'm interested to see how they perform, being a really like a first Asian team over here for an NA qualifier. And then Group D, which kind of has the bigger names. That's where you'll find Cloud9, Team Dignitas, Gambit Gaming, and Renegades. Cloud9 and Dignitas.
That one's easy, yeah.
I mean, Renegades might sneak in there if Cloud9 decides to not perform, but...
If I had to go pick anything, Group A, I'd actually probably take... I think I would take G2 and Enemy.
Over Tempo Storm, huh?
I think Tempo Storm's got that whole new kid on the block thing going on, and I don't think that's going to last. Group B, Liquid... And I really hope Team YP makes it because I really just enjoy these tournament organizers having to deal with the fact that it's a porn-sponsored team. I know they like to distance themselves from that, but let's be real.
Plus,
everybody knows what it is.
Claire, their player manager, she's a sweetheart. She'll email to any email you send her, and she'll give you a free t-shirt like she did me.
Yeah.
So she's great. So I hope good things for Team YP.
Group C, I'd say SK and CLG. If CLG can pick it up, we spoke about them earlier for the ESL Pro League. Cloud9 is the easiest one. Group D is the easiest one. Cloud9 and Team Dignitas.
So there's the teams. I want to talk about the actual tournament itself. The majority of it's going to be played as a best of one, correct?
Yes. People are very upset about it. Which if you end up losing two best of ones, you can be out of the qualifier,
which I agree that they should be upset about that. It's a qualifier to a major.
Yep. So per MLG Adam on Twitter, this format was handed down from Valve.
Of course it was, because if Valve can do anything else just to make everyone upset at them, like, go 9 months without any update to the game, and then you're going to do a best of one to a major tournament, to one of the first major in NA. You're going to do a best of one. This is such a waste of time for some of these teams. Well, if it would get them anywhere, I'd almost say they should, in protest, not even show up.
There was a lot of talk about the previous major qualifier for Cluj actually played best of threes throughout the entire thing. They thought it was very strange that Valve decided to switch it over to a best of one. But I mean, we talked about the schedule briefly, and just on Friday alone, they're playing for 10 hours. That's a lot of games to get in. That's a lot of teams to play. And if you change all those best of ones to best of three, you're now looking at not starting on Friday, but probably starting on Wednesday to try and get all the matches in.
And I agree there. So pros and cons. Would you rather have a best of one LAN tournament or a best of three online qualifier?
I'd probably take the best of three online qualifier.
And so would I.
I really think internet these days is good enough that unless you're like,
especially if you're a professional team, you're gonna get your. I mean, that's probably number one priority in your house is to.
But it would be a problem for like some of the groups that are sharing between NA and EU teams. Like, if you have G2 trying to play enemy, you know, over in, you know, G2 over in France and enemy here, Team YP and Team Liquid, which is Team YP is a Russian team versus an NA team. It could end up being an issue with pings.
Bottom line, though, a best of one is not the way you should do any tournament. Any tournament. That's so ridiculous that you have teams flying over from Europe, you know, from Asia, to do a best of one tournament.
Yeah.
Like, you have teams. This is like. And keep in mind, this is a month away from the actual major. So you're flying them out here to qualify. Say they qualify for the tournament.
And they get to go back home for a week.
Back home for like 2 or 3 weeks. And then flying back to the same city they were just in to do the major. I just feel like that's a strain on the players, but then just on the wallets for the organization.
I'd honestly not be surprised to see some of those European teams stay over for the entire month.
Just find a place to bunk.
Do like an Airbnb or something and hang out. I mean, please don't hang out in Columbus.
And they might find it cheaper.
Yeah.
They might find it honestly cheaper.
For 10 flights back and forth, you know?
Yeah. They might find it cheaper to just have them in a house for a month if they qualify than to keep flying them around. And then worse, if you lose the best of ones. Like, you just came in here for 2 matches. You fly in and you could potentially be done, I'm sure, by Friday.
That's going
to happen to most of these teams. Because some of them, let's be honest, probably don't stand a chance qualifying. Now, it is top 8. It is a lot of teams. It's half the teams are qualifying. But still, that is 8 teams who are going to be very disappointed, especially if they flew halfway across the world for it.
Yeah.
So real quick, we have one last thing on the micro, and that is Team Secret. An actual big organization is not paying their players.
A very long twit longer, which I hate this website, from Evany, who was, I believe, team manager for Team Secret for a while, goes through all these communication issues. And basically boils down to Cyborg Matt, who was the team manager, just not doing his job. Just flat out just not doing it. Claiming delays and da-da-da-da-da. And rough estimates come out to somewhere at about $500,000 of owed money. And the funniest issue about it all, and why this is such an anomaly, even in esports where we talk about people being owed money all the time, this has nothing to do with like tournaments not wanting to pay out or anything along those lines, like money not being there. Literally what has happened is this guy has like drug his feet on setting up bank accounts and setting up transfers and stuff. All of these tournament organizers from like Star Ladder, the Summit, Dota Pit League, ESL, they're all like, hey, we're trying to pay you guys. We're trying to pay your team. And y'all just won't take it.
he's literally just being lazy and just
he's not doing his job.
Bro, this is your job as a manager. You have all day to do this. What are you doing?
And it's causing some issues. I mean, obviously, at any time, and this whole team, this is the funniest part about it, is this whole team was originally created so that they could avoid dealing with big organizations that were screwing players over, and now teams have left because they're being screwed over by Team Secret.
I mean, how do you think the players feel? Like, how do the players not bring this up more often? Like,
well, and that was in,
like, if I was a professional player and you're a team owing us $500,000, you best believe, like, I'm tweeting, I am
the social media threats were leveraged and then finally executed on. After probably, I think it was almost a year. This goes all the way back to 2014. ESL 2014 stuff is not being paid out. And it got to the point, and I want to read this quote from one of the investors in Team Secret, one of the owners, that...
Like, at that point, you're messing up taxes and everything.
Well, that was in here, too, that some of these organizations that were having to sit on this prize money because they couldn't pay it out, it was screwing with their taxes because they have a whole bunch of money they're not supposed to have. And one of the players tweeted out earlier today that they're trying to get buy an apartment and, you know, live somewhere, and that to do that, they have to prove income. And banks don't care what you're owed. They care what you have. So they're having issues with, you know, all sorts of just...
It's a snowball effect. It's affecting a lot of things paying money.
One of the owners, they were threatened with social media exposure, which is like the main way to get esports controversy out there and in front of everybody. And the owner basically brushed it off, saying he was confused at the statement regarding social media because they are not a public company, nor do they have shareholders or credit to banks, so this would do them neither harm nor good. He said Ebony was unprofessional and says, feel free to go to social media as this won't speed up or delay my payment. So this guy is the guy that has bankrolled Team Secret. And he doesn't owe money to anybody. He doesn't, you know, he controls the team. He's like, you'll get your money when you get it. Like, we'll pay it out, but it's going to be whenever.
Unreal. And it's so sad to see Team Secret, an actual big organization, like doing stuff like that. Like, at what point is an organization safe? If you can be that big of an organization in a game and still have those issues, at what point can a player feel safe to join your team? Only time will tell. And time is also telling us. It's the end of the show. TCR, The Centering, episode 20. We are all said and done for tonight. I thank you so much for listening. If you made it this far, or even if you skipped around, I definitely appreciate it. Again, let us know what you think of the show. The Twitter is at The Center Ring. The website, tcr.gg. You can find everything on the website. You can find the audio. You can find the video. You can find our Twitter. Everything is there. My Twitter is at Pirate Mushroom. Brandon's is at...
Brand Any New.
Again, episode 20 is in the books. We will be back to normal schedule next week. We'll be officially moved into the new place. Parents will be out of town. Free time will be there again. So we'll be back to our normal schedule. Until then, thank you again so much for listening to The Center Ring, and we will see you next time.